Hey, Jason here. Today's video, I'm going to answer the question, is gaming stock Zynga, stock ticker ZNGA, a great investment? This is a stock analysis for Picnicking Pillowcase, who's requested several videos now. Thanks so much for that. Before we get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this series as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and more. You can get this part of the I Love Value Investing podcast anywhere in the world for free. And if you like this video here on YouTube and our other videos, make sure to subscribe, hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and release new videos all the time. Okay, I apologize for this if you've seen my other videos. I don't want to do this. I have to do this because every time I don't, I get nasty comments. I don't short sell ever, so any stock I talk negatively about, I don't benefit from. I also don't own any stock in a long position, any stock I talk positively about. These videos are done solely for the purpose to help you figure out or to help you learn how to better evaluate stocks faster. So you spend more time looking at great potential stocks, less time looking at crap stocks. These videos are also mostly or pretty much fully requested by viewers as well. That also means because most of the time I don't know what the stock does. Today's stock, I do know what they do, and I've evaluated them before, which I'll talk about in a second. Most of the time I don't. I purposely keep it that way if I don't know what the company does. Why? I purposely keep it that way so that I'm not biased either negatively or positively by what the company does. I don't care about, this also means I don't care about what they say they're going to do, about what they're doing, about what they say they're going to, how they're going to transform the world. I don't care about any of that until far later in the analysis. Why should you listen to anything I have to say? In the first 9 years of my career, I produced average annual investment returns of 23.5% on average in the portfolios I manage. This puts me just behind the great Warren Buffett. When compared to the first 9 years of his career at his Buffett Limited Partnership, where he produced 24.2% average annual investment returns for his investors. I'm not saying that to brag. Frankly, I don't like saying it. but I am saying it to prove to you that I actually know what I'm talking about a little bit. Okay. Again, apologize for that. Don't want to do it. Have to do it. Okay. Let's get over here. Again, this is Zynga for stock ticker ZNGA for Picnicking Pillowcase, who has now requested several videos. Thanks so much for that as well, Picnicking Pillowcase. All right. What we're doing here is I have evaluated Zynga before. Again, unlike most stocks we talk about here, I have evaluated Zynga before, to the point where I was at a decision on whether to buy them or not. I decided not to buy them, probably 2017, 2018 time frame. Frankly, I don't remember. This was when the huge Candy Crush, when Candy Crush was essentially taking over the world, everybody was playing that game. I don't remember the exact time frame. I went through the entire analysis. They had a ton of cash at the time. They had great, if memory serves me right, great and improving margins. And again, their games were taking over the world. I decided not to buy them because as a lifelong gamer myself, I know that unless the company has a long-term track record, and we're talking 5, 10, 20 years track record, making consistently great games that make lots of money is very, very, very hard. So I decided not to buy them for that reason, because at that point they were still pretty much unproven. They had Zynga, had Candy Crush, and what else? Farmville maybe? I don't even know what other games they had at that point, because I didn't play many of their games other than Candy Crush at that point. So I decided not to buy them, even though they had a ton of cash on hand, because of my knowledge of the video game industry. And again, to give context to that, what kind of companies are we talking about? We're talking about like Sony Santa Monica. We're talking about BioWare for the most part. We're talking about Paradox Interactive. We're talking about some of the best developers in the entire world who consistently churn out great games. Yes, if you're a gamer, I'm sure you would have arguments about some of these game studios, but these are the ones that come into the top of my head. But I decided not to buy. That apparently was a massive mistake. Again, assuming I bought in January 2017, which again, I don't remember when I was looking at them. In full honesty, they've been up 173.8% since then. So with that context, again, normally I don't give that context because I haven't evaluated the stocks. And if I have evaluated the stocks, it's just to a kind of minor degree. I've fully essentially evaluate this company. If I remember right, I even read their financial statements and was either I'm going to buy them or I'm not going to buy them. And I was at that decision stage. So I wanted to give that context here. They are a $7.7 billion market cap company. I don't care about 4P really at all, but when I do, I wanted this to be under 20. So this is one sign the company might be overvalued. For those of you who don't know what Zynga does, and actually I don't think they made Candy Crush now that I think about it. Again, this was a while ago. This was years ago. So I don't think they made Candy Crush. I think Candy Crush got bought out. They were King Interactive. They got bought out by Activision, I think, a while back. So I have not played a lot of Zynga games. I didn't play Farmville back in the day, all that. But I do know the gaming industry very well. They make stuff like generate revenue through mobile game downloads, in-game sales of virtual goods and advertising services. They make games like Social Casino, Zynga Poker, Wars with Friends. That's one of the games I played a long time ago with my family. Empires and Allies and Index Express and Farmville. So they make video games and social games for things like Facebook, or not anymore, but they make apps now. They started off as a Facebook-only company. Okay. Revenue went up significantly, then dropped significantly, and now it's back up. I'm assuming they had some issues, again, creating great games that people were liking from 2013, 2018. They figured out some stuff, 2019, 2020, and that's continued to generate or to grow the revenue. Their operating profit margins are not great. I look for anything above 10% consistently. For most of the last decade, they've been negative. And right now they're negative 3.2% in the last 12 months, negative 18.7% last year. The only profitable years were 2017, 2018 on an operating profit basis. And I think, again, if memory serves me right, that's when I was looking at them at. They have issued an enormous amount of shares, up from $289 million in 2011 to $1.1 billion in the trailing 12-month period. So if a company is not profitable, one way they can raise cash is by selling more shares. And they have done that to an enormous degree. That is generally not a good thing. Actually, that's generally a really bad thing when that there's that much share dilution. So let's see if their longer investment chart is not coming up. Let's reload this. There we go. Maybe. Well, their longer investment chart is not popping up. Cool. So their share price is way down from their IPO because, in large part, due to several factors. Usually it's due only to the share dilution when we see massive share dilution. In my opinion, this is due in large part to the share dilution. It's also due in part because if memory serves me right, their games were massively popular back in the day, and then they became less popular, and now they're becoming more popular again. So a couple factors here. Why did I know with almost certainty that their share dilution would lead to share price falling over time? Because, as I explained in other videos, companies over the long term are valued based on the cash flows they produce. And the more shares a company has, the less value on a per share basis, or the less cash flow on a per share basis the company has. So that lowers the share price over time, which is why I knew with almost 100% certainty that their share price was likely down over time. Book value per share is up over time. That is not surprising. That is one sign the company's underlying intrinsic value is going up over time. In this case, my guess would be they are, because they're developing more games and they're getting more people back in. But they could also be acquiring businesses at overvalued prices too. That could be part of it. And we will see that in a second. ROICs are not great as well. I look for anything above positive 10% on a consistent basis. For most of the last decade, this is negative as well, at negative 4.2% in the trailing 12-month period. free cash flow to sales is positive, again, largely to the share dilution. I will check on their debt levels here in a second. That could also be a contributor. But this does surpass my threshold of what I look for. I look for anything about 5% consistently here. This has been above 5% every year for the last 5 years. So that's good. But again, we know all of a huge chunk of that is from issuing shares. We'll see if that's also debt here in a second. Cash levels have gone down significantly over time as a percentage of the balance sheet. They have, in all likelihood, bought some stuff because their intangibles as a percentage of their balance sheet are now 64%. In 2011, they were 4.9%. They have no short-term debt according to this, and their debt levels have gone up as well in recent years. So they're sustaining the business and growing free cash flow by a combination of issuing shares and issuing debt. That is not the optimal way to do things. They don't have a cash conversion cycle because they do not produce hard assets. So we can skip that today. I've talked about this in several videos where I've seen it. Interest coverage ratio. Negative here means the company cannot cover the interest payments on its debts with operating profits, which obviously makes sense because they're negative profitability on operating profits. This is not a good thing because it means the company to sustain itself has to issue shares, has to issue debt to continue sustaining itself and growing. And again, that's not optimal. The quarterly. There we go. Okay, so they do have a decent amount of cash, $1.5 billion in cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments against a $7.7 billion market cap company. That is good. We'll see how that compares to the debt levels here in a second. Their goodwill is a significant amount of value on their balance sheet at $3.2 billion, and that is mostly from acquisitions, my guess would be. This value, in a real-world sense, has almost zero value to me when I'm analyzing a company's balance sheet. Why? Because goodwill is an accounting term only. It means the excess value a company paid over the asset net asset value of the company. So an example of this is, let's say they valued an acquisition at $1 billion based on its, or that the acquisition they were going to buy had a balance sheet value of one. My mouse is going away. Sorry about that. That the company they're looking to acquire has a net asset value on their balance sheet of $1 billion, but they paid $2 billion for the company. That means that Zynga, in this case, after the acquisition is closed, would charge isn't the right word, would show a $1 billion goodwill value on their balance sheet. To me, that means the company has, or this number has almost zero value in a real world sense, unless you're the Cokes or the Apples of the world, literally the top 10, 20, 30 companies in the world that have huge, powerful brands. Outside of that, this number has almost no real world value. And pretty much 100% of the time when I do a valuation of the company, I write off this entire value of $3.2 billion, which lowers their balance sheet value by $3.2 billion, which lowers their market cap, or their valuation of their market cap, by about $3.2 billion in a real world sense. Asset side of things. What about the liabilities? Minimal short-term debt. They do have a decent amount of long-term debt, which frankly a little bit surprising. $1.32 billion in long-term debt. I say a little bit surprising because last time I evaluated them, I think they had pretty much zero debt against a ton of cash. That's why it's a little bit surprising. Another reason is because this is not super surprising is because a lot of companies took on debt last year with the COVID stuff to build a cash levels, because once you take out debt, it turns into cash until you use it. And here's where I mean this value here, this total equity value, I would subtract goodwill from this. And when you do that, their equity value or their book value, also known as shareholders' equity, would be negative, meaning in a semi-real world sense, that the equity you are buying on the market is worth less than zero after acquire or after considering goodwill. Why I said to a degree, because this, the balance sheet here only considers the value of the assets and liabilities. This does not include consideration of their operations, but this does, in a real world sense to me, mean that their book value, their total equity, their net book value is worth essentially zero. It's not adding or subtracting anything to the value of the company in a valuation sense. Okay, cash flow statement. Okay, they bought something for just under $1 billion in the last 12 months, which again is not surprising based on their increase in goodwill. They bought and sold some investments. Issued a ton of debt in quarter four 2020, almost $1 billion in debt. And that's where most of their cash flow is coming from, pretty much all their cash flow is coming from, actually. So at this point, I would not consider Zynga a great investment right now if I'm looking to buy new. If I've owned for a while, it might be, depending on what you're up and what your biases are, and if you're planning on holding long-term, stuff like that, which goes outside the scope of this. But for me, looking at this as a potential new investor, I already know that I couldn't buy the stock, and I wouldn't research it further. But for learning purposes, let's go to the... Oh, here is why, and I will get to why in a second. Wow. There's another reason why. Again, I don't care for PE, price to cash flow, or for PE really at all. When I do, I want to see these under 20 to consider the company undervalued. The company has a negative PE because of negative net profitability, and they are. Sometimes these numbers don't match up, which is why I looked. Their price to cash flow is 24.25, and the forward PE is 25.5. Again, all above 20, and one unreadable because they are unprofitable. The most important number down here is this number, enterprise value EBIT. I look for anything below 8 to consider the company undervalued. They're 196.4 on their enterprise value EBIT. That means the company is enormously overvalued. And for that reason, and the other reason of them not really surpassing any of my thresholds for investment, I could not consider investing them for the portfolios I manage. Okay, let me get my face back here. However, this was still a good analysis, case study, picnicking pillowcase. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Love to hear everybody else's thoughts on this, because again, I have evaluated them before, and it was kind of cool to go back and reevaluate them again. With new information, new learning, new experience, all that. But I couldn't. I just couldn't for the reasons that major overvaluation is a big reason. The bigger reason is they don't meet really any of my thresholds for potential investments. So I could not invest in them for the portfolios I manage. And I'm not going, for that reason, I'm not going to research them further in these videos. If I missed something, if I didn't explain something well enough, if I should explain something better, let me know in the comments below. If you have any questions, let me know in the comments below. If you want me to look at a stock like this for you, I'll do so. And I'll look at a stock anywhere in the world for you. If it meets three criteria. It's not a bank. I don't evaluate banks. It's not an insurance company because you actually have to dig into the annual reports to evaluate them. And it also has to be producing revenue. Why does it have to be producing revenue? Because I did some videos for viewers a while back, and the companies weren't producing revenue. And because at this stage, I don't care about what the company does or what the company says they're going to do. If the company's not producing numbers, there's literally nothing for me to evaluate. If it meets those third criteria, let me know, and I'll look at a stock anywhere in the world for you. If you're listening on YouTube, thanks so much, first of all, Really appreciate it. Make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. If you do subscribe, make sure to hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and release new videos all the time. If you're listening on the podcast, again, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And make sure to do all that same stuff. But on the podcast, we'd also really appreciate your review, because the more reviews, views, and listens we get our content, the more people we can help. If you want more to learn how to become a better investor faster, make sure to check out our free resources below in the description. To get our free PDF copy of my book, How to Value Invest, a free PDF copy of our guide, 7 Tips to Picking Great Stocks, 3 Times You Must Sell, and also 5 free gifts, which you can get, our free preliminary analysis checklist, which you've seen some of our other videos, hopefully, in parts 2 and parts 3, where we actually do the full preliminary analysis worksheet. You can get that worksheet and 4 of the free gifts and those other resources for free at the links below. If you're looking for more specific help from me on how to become a better investor faster, make sure to check out our Value Investing Masterclass at mastermind.valueinvestingjourney.com, mastermind.valueinvestingjourney.com, or the link is below. In this course, you'll get video resources and written resources, templates, worksheets. They'll help you teach you how to become a great value investor in a short amount of time by showing you the exact things I look for to find great stocks, how I exactly evaluate them, including how I read financial statements, how I take notes, 23 different valuation techniques that don't require high-level math skills. As long as you understand sixth grade math, you can do every single valuation in the course, and much more, like group trainings, access to past trainings, all that. You get all that and much more, and to learn about that or to join the Master Value Investing Masterclass, you can go to mastermind.valueinvestingjourney.com, mastermind.valueinvestingjourney.com, or go to the links below as well. But until next time, have a great day. Talk soon.